This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Cheryl.
Tig.
I'm excited that this Thursday is our live streaming show.
It's our live show. We're going to have so much fun with everybody.
I know.
Yeah.
More fun than probably...
Don't say that.
Okay. All right.
Than probably? No. Listen, the live show is going to be a really fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be on loopedlive.com. And then today, you know, we have a very candid conversation about...
West Virginia,
and people that drugs live there, and nudity,
crabs. You know, we all know about the herpes detector, but is there a crabs detector at the local Walgreens?
ladies and jerks, welcome to the wild and wonderful whites of West Virginia.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Cheryl Hines.
Tig Notaro.
Hey, girl, hey.
Oh, I said it right. Hey, girl, hey. Oh, my. Well, I feel like we have a lot to talk about and also nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that?
Well, isn't that every week?
Yeah, but this even more so.
Okay.
Wait, there's a lot, I don't know.
I feel like there is stuff to talk about here.
I feel like I need a shower after watching that movie.
Yeah.
That movie?
Have you not showered since, when did you watch it?
Mm-mm, no, I haven't showered since I watched it.
Okay.
But I do need to get the funk off.
Sure.
Funk, gross.
No, funk is a smell. It's a bad smell. And it was, you know, adopted by
musicians. That you know the origin.
It's funky, you know?
Right, which is good.
But
right?
Like somebody's aunt or grandmother might be like, oh, it sure is. It smells funky in here.
Right.
You know?
Not great.
Not great.
Right.
But then, bow, bow, bow.
That's great.
Yeah. I don't know if that's great, but it's funky.
It's like porn music. Isn't that what they say?
I don't know what you watch in your free time.
In my porn time?
Yeah, in your porn time. Do you watch porn?
Not usually.
Sometimes?
Well, if I'm in a hotel and I'm like, oh, well, what's happening here?
Really? When you're in a hotel, you watch porn?
I mean, I'm curious. I'm porn curious. Are you not?
Wait. Wait, but why do you wait until you get to a hotel? Why don't you watch it at home?
Oh, because that's weird. Because people are walking
weird.
in and out of my room, and you know, it's like I don't need somebody walking in and seeing me watching porn.
No, but now people know that when you're checked into a hotel room, you're watching porn.
Well, Well, aren't you curious to see, you know, what people are doing?
I have a pretty good idea. And
do you, though? Do you?
Well, I have to be honest. You know, I'm Please. Not a I'm not your regular, you know, run of the mill porn viewer.
Well, nor neither am I.
Well, you stay in a lot of hotels. I do notice that.
And you stay at your cousin's, so that's awkward.
You go and quarantine at hotels pretty frequently.
And now we know why.
And you have your alone girl weekend by yourself, and now we know you're watching porn.
I just think it's interesting. It's a social, you know, interest. It sounds anti-social interest
if you're alone in a hotel room watching porn. I'm not judging you. I'm just like, didn't see any
you
part.
You didn't see that coming.
No.
Okay. I think we should get right into it,
uh-huh.
if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Today we are talking about the wild and wonderful whites of West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2009 documentary film directed by Julian Nitzberg. It chronicles the reckless lives of the white family of Boone County, West Virginia. The film was produced by Johnny Knoxville of Jackass and debuted at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Were you familiar with this?
No.
Were you familiar with Jesco, the other documentary that came out?
No. Were you?
Yes, I was. I watched that. I watched that years ago, and it didn't have the vibe that this movie had.
Really?
The one about Jesco was a little more
classy?
No, there was nothing
more
classy.
About his,
it just
his
seemed
dancing.
Yeah, it seemed like it was more endearing and lighthearted and so I thought when the movie started and his sister was like, and now it's going to be about the rest of the family. Uh-huh. I guess even in her delivery, I thought, well, this is a different vibe.
Oh, yeah. So in Boone County, West Virginia, the whites are a notorious family. They call themselves the true rebels of the South.
Mm-hmm.
And the whites are a product of West Virginia coal country where outside interests take all the wealth. It's coal country, right, where people come in from different parts of the country, different parts of the world to basically take coal from West Virginia and from the people of West Virginia
mm-hmm.
with disregard of the people there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really tough situation. And the mines are dangerous. And so the idea of this family, the white family, they just have this very reckless lifestyle. Like, listen, we could die in the coal mine or we could overdose on drugs or my sister might kill me. We're all going to die. Might as well be, you know, go out in flames.
Yeah.
And what you got?
Yeah. I don't think there's any way to get anything else from it.
No.
And I have to say, I don't know if it's that I'm because I'm getting older, but I wanted to turn the movie off about 10 minutes in.
I know.
And
it's tough. It's a tough one. But I know our listeners really wanted us to watch this one and talk about it.
I guess my question is why? Like, do people think it's funny to watch? Because there's a lot of suffering in this movie.
Yeah.
I feel like it's cut together kind of like a reality show.
Yeah.
Like it's
right.
It's
like
gratuitous.
Like Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, which surprise, surprise, I never saw Honey Boo Boo.
I didn't either, and I'm not sure if that's the mom or the daughter. Is that the mom or the daughter?
I don't know if it matters. Okay. Nothing matters, right? Watch this movie and you'll see. But I think that I guess to me, if you're gonna go into that world and document it, I don't even know what I'm saying. I just felt sad and depressed, and I imagine there are people that think it's funny, but I just didn't think it was funny.
It's tough. It is tough because this family Where do we begin with the whites?
And here's the other thing that I want to say is maybe it's also after becoming a parent.
I know.
Where I felt like it was disrespectful to the children to put them on camera.
I know.
And listen, I have a sense of humor.
You do?
I do. I have a sense of humor.
You're sounding very close to I'm a sexy lady. If you have to announce it.
Well, and that's I've already admitted that many times. I am a sexy lady. And I'm also
a classy lady.
Sexy AF. Sexy as AF. But I feel like maybe it's something I would have been amused by decades ago. Maybe when I was like a teenager or early 20s or something, and not really understood the gravity of what was going on. And I know this is not the vibe of our podcast typically, but I really struggled. And I don't know.
It is tough. But I think the allure is a look into this family and this lifestyle.
But that's my feeling, is you can have a look into it, but not cut it like a, and I mean cut it meaning edit it like a reality show.
Like it's fun and crazy.
Yeah, because these people are really, really suffering. And it's really, really painful to watch. And that's what I felt like I was doing. I felt like I was watching people drown. I was watching a group of people drown. You know what I mean? And and it was hard.
I think what's, you know, interesting about it is that they are a pretty happy bunch. I know, but hear me out.
Happy?
Well, you know, it's like
that. All it says is pain to me.
I know,
they probably edit it in a way that shows the fun, reckless, like
right.
But when you think of the moments in between the hooting and hollering, I don't think these are a bunch of happy people. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they are thrilled with their lives.
Well, there's a lot of dancing going on. And so tell everybody about Jesco, because was that his name?
Yeah, Jesco.
So that was the dad, right?
Well, he's the uncle.
Oh.
No, no. The grandfather was old.
D-Ray.
Yeah, he was old Happy Toes.
He invented this own style of dancing. And supposedly 52 steps nobody else could do.
Right. It looked a lot like tap dancing.
It looked kind of like river dancing. Yeah, like hillbilly river dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
But like on picnic tables or...
Or wherever.
Wherever. And
truly
it's interesting.
Wherever.
That's interesting.
Listen, I think this type of dancing, this area of the country, and these people are interesting. Make no mistake.
Right. Yeah.
I just didn't enjoy watching.
I know the pain.
I didn't feel like there was a let's get in there, let's look at this, and here's. I mean, of course, you learn from anything, but
it was hard. It was hard to go on this ride for you. It was very hard to go on it, and it was, and it is, and it's interesting because you know the big picture is like people are born into a family that they don't choose. Mm-hmm. Right. So and everybody's born into that family. If it's a rich family, if it's a poor family, if you're in a small city, if you're in a big city. And the white family is born in, these kids are born into the white family. And the white family is outrageous. Nobody likes them.
Right.
Because they have disregard of everybody around them, rules.
And themselves and their
their
family.
Husband cheats and they're like, well, I'm going to go kill him. Yeah.
They threaten to kill their family members. They're like doing drugs while they're pregnant.
Well, you want to hear, let's listen to how the locals describe the whites. Okay. Just so people can get an idea of the whites.
You get a certain reaction from people.
The whites, they have that kind of charisma. Not only can they draw you in, they can keep you there. They don't want to conform to any authority, no rules, and all they got to do is to fuss, fight, and party.
Some of them are good, some of them are entertaining, and a whole lot of them are just trouble and dangerous.
Even though they might be the most hated family, well, they're probably the most free. They are the true rebels of the South.
Okay. That was Hank Williams III, the last person talking.
Hank III is what he goes by.
Oh, does he go by Hank III?
Mm-hmm. He's the son of Bo Cephas, who is Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, was Bo
Cephas? Well, Hank Williams had a son, Hank Williams Jr., and his nickname is Bo Cephas.
Bo Cephas.
And then Bo Cephas had Hank III.
And do you think Hank III, it seemed like he's just sitting around with the whites in West Virginia. I mean, I don't know if that's really what he's doing.
Well, I would imagine, I mean, he's claiming he's friends with them. I mean, how deep is this friendship? Or is it just kind of like fun to be, I mean, because that guy comes from cash and country music royalty.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's fun to swing by there and tap dance and play some music. But
is it fun, though?
If you're hanging out with Jesco and he's just dancing, you're having some beers and you're playing music and you're there That's for true. The night.
Because when Hank III was mm-hmm. on in the film, he was singing, and then there was do we know who the guy was that was dancing on the picnic table?
That was Jesco.
How would you know that?
Well, because I am familiar with Jesco.
And is he famous for his dancing?
Jesco is the reason the whites are famous, I would say, because that documentary about Jesco was huge.
Huge.
I mean, huge. Like, it was like people...
Like culty.
Culty. Like, people were passing that VHS tape around in the late 90s, early 2000s.
And
like,
why?
Oh, my
because
God.
Because he was this dancer from West Virginia? Or what's,
yeah, and he just seems so, like... You can't tell if this is an actor or if this is real. It really is so hard to believe, especially if you're not from these parts of the country or the South. You're like, there's no way this is a real person.
Yeah.
But he seems a tad more civilized than the rest of the whites, I would say, until you get into this particular documentary. And then you're like, all right.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, the whole family needs to go to prison and rehab, you know?
Yeah.
And let's give the listeners a break. Let's give ourselves a break.
Yeah, okay. We're going to come back with a fresh take. Fresh take.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, we're back.
And we are back with a fresh take. Turns out I thought this was hilarious. Not at all.
So Mamie White is an outspoken member of the family. Her father was D. Ray White, mm-hmm. who invented his own style of dancing, like we talked about.
Yeah.
And Mamie has four brothers. Mark, who was shot and killed. Mm-hmm. Did she shoot him and kill him? Maybe.
No way to know.
Dorsey accidentally killed him, himself, shot himself. Pony moved to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Good for Pony, by the way.
I know, I know.
I was cheering for him. And I would say, you know what I would say?
What
would you say? Do a documentary on Pony.
On Pony,
That would be a story I'd want to see to find some sort of inspiration.
Yes. Because he was born into that family. Mm-hmm. He knows that nobody in that community likes the whites. Mm-hmm. So he knew that his children were going to be subjected to people hating the whites. So he moved to West Virginia. He moved to Minnesota.
Yeah. And I know this documentary is very popular and we can't go back and change anything. However, if I were doing this, I would introduce you to the family and then I would follow Pony out of there.
Right.
And I would say, Here is where some hope is.
Here's Pony.
Yeah, let's pony up.
Oh, let's pony up, you guys. And then Jesco is also her Mamie's brother. And then Sue White. I mean, there are a lot of whites.
And that's the other unfortunate thing is their last name.
Ms. White.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, oh boy. And I think the title is a little misleading.
The title, The Wonderful.
Why are you wonderful? It's like, whoa, what? You know what I thought? This is ridiculous, but not that ridiculous. I thought that maybe this documentary was about mountains, like snow-covered mountains in West Virginia. It's not.
Oh, Cheryl.
It's not.
The wild and wonderful whites of West Virginia. So you went in with that idea and this is what you saw?
Yes, so imagine.
So you took an even longer fall and drop than I did.
It took a while till I was like, whoa, there are no mountains in this at all.
Mm-mm. Mountains of drugs.
Yes.
There were mountains of drugs.
I went to West Virginia University for a year. Did you know that? In Morgantown, West Virginia.
Wait, was that when you were getting away from is that when you went to college?
Yeah.
The boyfriend?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But this film is not a good representation of West Virginians, just to let people know.
Or humans. No matter where you might live.
Or anyone named White.
No.
But okay, so there's a woman named Susan. She calls herself Kirk.
Why not? You know?
And another woman named Sue White, a.k.a. Sue Bob, is a former stripper and considers herself the sexiest woman in the county. You want to hear a little bit from Sue White talk about how she's the sexiest?
Oh, I thought she said she was the sexiest in the family, but it's in the county?
Let's hear her. I'm not sure.
Well, either way.
Yeah. She's not wrong. Well, she's
well, I would say she is. Well, here's the other question I have.
Yes. Yes.
What is going on with everyone's voice? Everyone's voice is like coming from their like deep in their rectum. Like that's where
you should be a voice coach. I want you to go deep into your rectum.
But you know what I'm saying? Like it's
no, I know.
So
it's low and
it almost sounds like they've had tracheotomies.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know what I was thinking, and what? I don't mean to say this out loud, but
you're a podcast, so you're gonna
I'm
need
on a
to.
It's just us. It's just us and our listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think there's a lot of dating outside the family, or do you think it's a small dating pool?
So you're thinking they're like dating, they're...
Maybe. You don't have to say it out loud. I'm just saying. Let's listen to Sue White.
The sexy one.
Sexy one.
Well, I used to be a stripper back then when I was 17, 18, 19 years old. And I made the bukus of money. I'd bring home at least $15,000 to $2,000 a night in my boo. And I've always been a sexiest one in the family. I always had comments from thousands of people.
In the family.
In the family. All right. Well, that's a sash to wear proudly. It's interesting because that woman probably is how old? And she was probably like 30 in this film or something. But
are you the sexiest in your family? I know I am. I mean, after my mother died, I was like, I'm for
sure. You got moved right to the top.
Yeah, I got moved right to the... My mother was like the, like, really beautiful.
Yeah.
And then when she passed away, I was like, well.
Hot Tig is here, y'all.
Step off.
Hot Tig is here.
And my brother would be the first, and my stepfather. They would both, and my father passed away, but if he were alive, he'd be like, yeah, everybody would agree I am the sexiest one in the family. So I'm not speaking out of-
But even like nieces and nephews and stuff, because I have a lot of really cute nieces and nephews and things, and in-laws.
Yeah, I would say to all of my relatives, I would say-
You're still number one.
I would say, come on.
Come on, guys, you know.
Come on, you know.
You know, guys.
You know, you know. We're all thinking it.
So that was Sue.
Sexy Sue.
Sexy Sue. And let's see, there's a Birdie Mae who's 84. That was one of the saddest birthday parties. And they're trying to shove drugs, weed, cocaine, and she's like, I don't want to do it. And her kids are like, do it, just do it. And it was basically the whole birthday party
is trying to
get your
shove drugs into your 84-year-old mother / grandmother / aunt into her mouth.
Yeah. And then, and it's a small
mouth
space. And then at some point, Les White, one of Birdie's adopted sons, takes off his pants. Wait, did he take off his pants or did somebody pull him down?
No, I think he took them off. Right?
He took them off and waved it side to side. You know what I mean? That dance.
Yeah. And you don't like to see naked people.
I don't need to see Les White naked waving his penis around.
Yeah.
What are you saying? I don't like to see naked people.
I just felt like on an episode or two, you were like, not.
Oh, well, that was uncomfortable. The artist is present. Mm-hmm. I was saying, yeah, I don't need to walk between two naked people to get to the next room. Mm-hmm. And that's the art exhibit.
Okay. Well,
but you liked that.
No, I just, don't know that we need to rehash another.
But, another documentary where we're just trying to get through this one?
Yeah, but to be fair, I brought it up.
Yeah, you just accused me. After I just said, I'm porn curious, and then you're telling me I don't like to look at
Why are you bringing
people.
This up again? You're the one. Why don't you check yourself into a hotel room already?
You're accusing me of all kinds of things.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
You're going to get inundated with porn links and stuff. I can't wait until you're recording again from a hotel.
So you know what? You know what I find disturbing, and I don't know why, and maybe
the entire movie.
Yeah, and maybe because we are parents, it's certainly harder.
Not like, together.
Not yet. Not that we know.
You never know how life goes.
You never know what's in heaven. But I don't like seeing kids drink soda.
Yeah.
Is that silly?
No.
I don't know why.
I don't like it either.
I mean, there's a time and place for everything, and it's okay. It's fun once in a while, but like to watch there was like this little kid who was just, who drank six cans of Pepsi or Coke or something. And it was like, oh, that can't be good. We're just watching this one moment in time. And that's what he just did.
I mean, that's definitely a problem. However, he's also surrounded by drugs.
Yeah.
And alcohol. And people are just smoking cigarettes just like it's the 70s in a car with windows up. That kind of
like
disregard.
Holding a baby and smoking a cigarette. Yeah. There's stuff like that going on where it's just like,
or
whoa.
Like being pregnant completely full of drugs. It's just like, yeah, Pepsi's terrible.
But that's the least of our worries here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a lot of prescription drugs.
And snorting. I didn't even Did you know about snorting?
No. But apparently they crush them up like Xanax and...
Like Coke.
Yeah. And then they snort it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's see. Who had the baby?
That one woman where... This is how naive I am about drugs.
Yeah.
The woman that had the baby talked like she was on drugs, like really slow.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I don't know if I, even though the whole movie is about everyone on drugs.
Yeah.
It didn't even dawn on me that that was maybe from drugs.
You just thought maybe she was just, that's just who
I
she is.
I just thought, well, because I talk slow or I deliver things slowly. And then I don't remember at what point in the movie where I was like.
Oh, well, when she goes in, she delivers the baby. She has a baby. And then she and her friend crush up the whatever painkillers and snort them.
Immediately after the baby plopped down, she got up and snorted drugs.
And then they don't let her take the baby. They say that they need to keep the baby in the hospital to observe the baby, which I felt good about. I was like, okay, well, at least somebody's looking out for this baby.
Right.
And then they, a few days later, I couldn't tell how long, but they go back to pick up the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And child services had taken the baby. And she was upset. But then they drove through Taco Bell right after.
Yeah.
But see, I understand, like, people, I see why that's slightly entertaining, because then they have a ridiculous moment in the Taco Bell drive-through.
Of course.
And if that was the only thing going on in the film, that would be hilarious.
I guess. But you're also, I don't know, I'm highly aware that there's a little tiny baby.
I know.
I don't know.
I know. Let's give everybody a break. And then we'll come back and we'll hear Mamie at Taco Bell, just so we can get a vibe on what's happening in this doc.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay, so here's Mamie. And this is just one moment in time for the whites. Here's Mamie ordering at Taco Bell.
Sorry about your wait. Go ahead, little girl, whatever you have. Yeah, give me a quesadilla. The steak and cheese fajita only with cheese and steak only.
We don't have fajitas.
You don't have fiestas?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Why is it on your side if you don't have it?
Are you talking about gorditas?
Y'all have mozzarella cheese sticks?
No.
No.
Give me 2 tacos, 1 soft shell, 1 hard, please. Could you repeat that order back to me?
Yes, I got the hard cheese quesadilla. Steak gordita with just steak and cheese.
Well, and then that part, can we... This part was the most outrageous thing.
Oh, there, I knew you were going to hate this. When I watched it, I was like, oh my God, Tiggy's losing Ryan. Okay, let's listen to this.
Okay, so this, they went through the drive-thru, and while they're driving through, they see somebody that they know that's in Taco Bell, and then she's yelling at the window to the person right before they get to the window to pay for their taco.
She's not laughing. Renee!
Knock on the window.
Tell her,
come here.
Dad!
Tell her, come here.
Hey, Tanner! They took her baby. She had her baby. CPS took it. She's crying, her.
And then the friends are waving. I mean, I'm assuming that they didn't hear what she said. That's what I like to think.
There's no way. I mean, even her sentence, she's crying, her, you know, like it's not really clear.
Cohesive.
Yeah.
This was tough to watch.
Was there any point where you were like, I need to turn this off. I can't watch it.
Yeah.
You did have like a moment of, I have to turn this off.
Yeah. I watched it in two sittings because I was like, I can't. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And
well, and you and I were also talking earlier today on the phone about drug abuse and drug addiction.
Yeah.
And just the effects that it has. And
it's devastating.
It's devastating.
It's devastating. And it's drug addiction is very powerful. Mm-hmm. It's very, very powerful. And to be able to try to even get off of drugs or rehabilitate, you have to put yourself in a completely different setting around different people who are on a different track. Because if you're just still hanging out with the same people who are doing the same things, it's very hard to change mm-hmm. what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's what's difficult about the film, because you're watching this and it's like, whoa.
There's no way out.
There's no way out. They're born into it, that they're raised that way. The kids are talking about killing other people and can't wait to go stab somebody or shoot somebody. And you know that that's going to be, that is going to happen, because that's what happens and that's how they're raised. Mm-hmm. So one of the Brandon, I forgot why he shot his uncle. Why did he shoot his uncle, Billy? Do you remember why?
I doubt there was like a good reason that we need to like justify the shooting.
Yeah. And he shot him 3 times in the neck, face, and shoulder. And then he shot the cops while they arrested him. And they talked to him while he was in prison. And he was actually...
He almost seemed normal.
But what was sad about that is he was thinking, they're probably going to let me out of here. I'm about to go to my sentencing, but I don't think it's going to be bad. They're probably going to let me out.
And then 50 years.
Yeah. And then another woman, Mousy, just got out of prison.
Was that her given name?
As soon as she got out of prison, after 4 years, she was out to track down her husband, Charlie, who cheated on her so she could kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And this film is outrageous because you are literally watching people do drugs. You're watching people say, oh, I'm going to go kill Charlie. And then, you know, everybody's like cheering and they're drinking and it's like, let's go kill Charlie, y'all.
I mean, I can't even imagine if one of the whites came into my house and saw the life I live. You know what I mean?
They would think that you were the most boring person that ever
that
ever lived. Well, I know. I mean, and that's what I think what fascinates people about this film is, like I said, that this is like something that people cannot imagine, that this is how people could really live. They just can't, you can't even imagine it.
I'm doing the exact opposite all day long. I'm trying to keep myself and my family healthy and safe.
Yes.
And I'm trying to walk every day. I'm trying to eat right. I'm focusing on getting enough sleep.
Right. And meanwhile, these guys are tracking each other down to kill each other.
Right. I mean, I can't even, it's just baffling.
It's baffling.
And only sharing that because of the stark difference.
Yes.
I'm not saying I'm a better person. I'm just saying,
your values are different.
We have such different lives. Even just picturing one of them walking into my house or me walking into their house. It's truly like a spaceship landed.
Weren't you wondering about the filmmakers?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a scene where I think they were in a trailer and one of the sons had a rifle and he's twirling it around.
And there's a kid in the room.
Oh, yeah.
And grandma in the room, too. Everybody
But nobody flinches. Nobody moves. It is just like, whoa.
And
but
and then they say, lower it. And he says, it's not loaded. And she says, no, because of the ceiling fan.
Right. It's not funny, but okay. So Kirk, the woman who had the baby, she decides to go to rehab.
And she has another child who's like, what, 7 or 10
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, this cute.
He's so cute. And he's so already on the wrong track.
I know.
And I just wanted to bring him home with me, but
I
would
know.
Be so bored with my life. I would be like, have your organic smoothie. Let's take a walk. And here's a nice bubble bath.
Oh, boy. And oh, boy. Yeah, but it was great that Kirk took the initiative to
absolutely
put herself into
absolutely
rehab.
And I had the moment of I was thrilled for her, but then 1 second later I was like, it's not going to last
because she gets out and she goes back to that. But the send off to rehab was quite something.
Just drugs. Well, and that's the other thing is it's great that she took the initiative, but the problem, I mean,
right.
obviously there's several problems, but the problem is she didn't want to quit drugs. She couldn't wait to do a bunch of drugs before she went away to rehab.
I'm sure people carry both thoughts,
right? Yeah, right.
There's a thought that I got to stop,
yeah.
and there's a thought that, oh my God, I don't want to stop. So I think I've heard and I've talked to people who we're about to go to rehab and they're like, uh-huh. oh my God, I got to do one more night before I go. It's my last, it's like going on a diet. You know, you say you're going to go on a diet tomorrow. So you eat chocolate. It's not the same, but.
So you eat chocolate.
So you eat
Girl,
chocolate.
I'm going to be so bad right now and I am going to eat some chocolate. Okay. And then tomorrow. No chocolate.
Celery sticks. But it was great because she did go to rehab. And wasn't it so interesting to see her after she had been in rehab for 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
She looked like a different person.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. it was nice. And then.
And then seeing her sit in the back seat with her son and look at him and.
And look at him.
Yeah.
And so, and like
take
really
him in.
Taking. Yeah. But that's what I was going to say. It was very sweet. And he, and they were cute together.
I know. You know? And I was just thinking. Before rehab, I was like, oh, gosh, this poor kid. And then I was seeing her in this light of like, oh, that's his mom. That's
yeah,
his mother.
I know.
And he loves his mother just like anybody loves their mother. No matter.
Right. So it was very sweet. And then she went to another part of the rehab where she goes with her son, which I thought was great too, for like 6 months or something. And, you know, I don't know what happened to them. I'm hoping that they have lived a very healthy and happy life since then.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was sort of the end, right?
Well, grandmother died.
Yeah, the poor grandmother, who was the only one that was seen to try to be sober. I don't know if sober is the right word.
Just she wasn't doing like meth or crack
yeah.
or what. I don't even know. I guess they were doing anything and everything.
But that was also the question is where are they getting these drugs? Where are they getting these prescription drugs?
I mean, I can barely get my back medication. I have to like call a million
times. They're stingy with it.
Yeah. And it doesn't even make me
loopy.
No, it just strengthens my bones. And I'm like, hey, I'm running low. And they're like, well, we already sent you your supply. You're going to have to call back in a week. And I'm like, and then meanwhile, these people are like tripping over pills. And I'm like, I just need my weekly back pill to strengthen my spine.
I know.
And
I
have
I don't
to do backflips. With
wow.
my bad back.
With your bad back.
To get just something to help me strengthen my bones.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I don't either, Cheryl.
I'm sure our listeners will let us know. Not that that's what they're doing, but
and
they're
I feel like I'm really letting down our fans by not having a sense of humor about this. Because I bet there's a lot of people that were like, oh, I cannot wait to hear what Cheryl and Tig are saying.
Know. Because it's so outrageous. The film is outrageous. These people are outrageous.
Mm-hmm. I say we crowdfund.
Mm-hmm.
and we raise our money and we produce our Pony White.
Pony White in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And his kids seem sweet too.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, we were glad we got out of there.
Oh my God. I was so excited for them.
I know.
I was so touched that this guy
cared.
Yeah. Just wanted something better for himself and his family. Yeah. And like, I just hope his kids, it seems they do appreciate it, but I really hope they appreciate what he did because, you know, just that he's getting up every day and he's going to work and he's, I don't know. I was so into that.
Okay. Tig, are you ready for final thoughts?
I am.
I bet you are. It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not cry, but I was stunned, like I said, into silence for the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you cry?
No. No, but it was tough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can't wait to ask who you were attracted to.
Well,
I mean, interestingly enough, there are a few attractive people in this.
I think that with the big white beard, I think Jesco looks cute.
Okay.
Wait, you like sexy Sue?
She's the sexiest one in the family. I liked, who were you just talking about? That?
Oh, Pony?
Yeah, Pony. Pony, when we were at Pony's house and there were the two guys on the couch, they were cute. Okay. I don't know their names and I don't know how they were related.
They were cousins.
Okay. I like Pony's cousin. Oh, I guess both of them. Or you could have one if you want.
Okay.
One of the cousins. Or if you liked, I mean, whew, it was just so hard to, this was a hard one to find the person you were attracted to.
Or who you're going to go out and a bang with.
Is it real?
Should that be the name of the segment now? Who are you going to go out and a bang with?
Yeah. Going out and a bang. Who do you want? Okay. So next week, we will be watching Lula Rich, which you can watch on Amazon Prime. You can also buy True Story merch at podswag.com/truestory. Mm-hmm. Woo! Should we go on to some fan mail? Yeah. That has to be uplifting.
Yeah.
Okay. Fallon T. Hey, Fallon T.
Hey, Fallon T. Hey.
Hey, Tig. Hey, Cheryl. Hey. My mom and I listen every week. We no longer dread Mondays, but what the heck is a Merkin? Oh, boy. We've never heard of such a thing, and after Googling it, we have many questions. We really wish you would have elaborated more on these. You both seem to think that this was common knowledge. We've been giggling about it all morning, especially after a guy in a cheap toupee tried to flirt with my mom. I was not impressed, but my mom told me to be nice. After all, he's wearing a Merkin. Thanks for the laughs. Phelan and Deb. Okay, here's the thing about a Merkin.
Cheryl chooses to wear one even when she's not filming and when she's watching porn in hotels.
That may be true. But here's the thing about Merkins. I am aware of them because of show business. Mm-hmm. If you do like a period piece and listen, I'm just going to say it. Okay. I'm going to spill some beans. A lot of women and men do a lot of grooming, waxing down there. And if there's a nude scene, that's not correct for the period, right? If you're doing something in the 1800s and then you have to be nude.
And your crotch has a mohawk.
and it's going to be weird. Uh-huh. So in that case, the hair stylist would fashion a little merkin to put down there so during your nude scene. Or I also know this because there was a film where there was a shower scene, a locker scene. So there were lots of guys showering, but the director didn't want to actually see penises. So he or she had merkins made for the actors that were showering to cover their penises. So if you did see a glimpse, you would see pubes, but not.
So wait, the director just wants the guy to, or the person to just have no penis?
Yeah. You know, they're not doing a close-up of somebody, but if the camera moves and you see naked people, it's not a guy standing there completely naked. He's being covered. He's being covered by the merkin.
I don't think this is our responsibility to go into this great a detail for every time that a merkin was used in Hollywood.
Well, I think it's nice that people know. And now, and let me tell you how I think they started. And then we'll get off of merkin.
And not just how they started, but how Cheryl thinks they started.
Because I'm not sure if this is true.
Well,
This is what I heard.
We don't know if anything is true.
No, we don't know. But back, I can't give you a date, but a long, long time ago, when prostitutes would get crabs, they would shave their pubic hair because they didn't want the crabs, and then they would put on a merkin. That's what I heard. Once again, I'm not sure that's correct. But by the way, how do you even have sex with a merkin on? I guess it's possible. I don't know. Anyway, but thanks for writing in, guys, because a lot of people were probably wondering the same thing. Shall we move on to the next one?
Everybody has vomited. Clean yourselves up and rejoin the show.
Oh, boy. Okay, Fiona A. writes. Oh, no, Fiona W. writes. Hey, Fiona.
Hey, Fiona W.
Hey. Whoa, Tig, you're really bad at that today. Hi, Tig and Cheryl.
Hi.
Oh, how I love your podcast. I work in a hospital as a clinical coder, a job that requires lots of concentration and reading. As a result, our department is supposed to be fairly quiet, but we are allowed to listen to whatever we like, headphones on, while we work. I only recently discovered this podcast, and I've since become totally addicted and have abandoned my other favorite podcast. I've been fluctuating between stifled giggles to out loud laughing while listening to you both, and I fear I'm very close to losing my podcast rights. You bring me so much joy. I don't care which documentary you talk about. Your banter and friendship is the gold that keeps me listening. Just want to send you my love and gratitude for making my working day so happy and fun. Big love from your biggest fan in Australia.
Australia!
Were you trying to do an accent?
No, I was trying to sound excited.
So you were like, Australia.
No, I said, Australia.
But it almost sounds like you were trying to do an accent.
No.
Australia.
No, Cheryl, you're the one that keeps trying to wedge in your terrible Australian accent. I'm just saying Australia with excitement because I didn't realize podcasts traveled that far.
Do you think that it takes a lot for a podcast to travel?
Yes.
Fiona also says, can't speak for the rest of the world and don't know how I'll qualify this, but I can't imagine anyone loving your podcast more. Foz and Oz.
Aww, wow. Foz and Oz.
Wow. We needed that after this one.
We sure did.
That was a palate cleanser. Thank you, Foz. Well, That's it. I think I'm losing my horn skill. Oh, you go high. Okay, listen, we love reading your messages, your comments, your reviews.
We really do.
Keep letting us know what you think about the docs and leave us a review, and we might just read your response on the show.
And don't forget to get your tickets to our live streaming event.
It is going to be fun.
Also, go to tignotaro.com for my tour dates. I'm adding dates all the time. And there's links to the venues where... Are you not familiar with this song?
No. And no, but it's links... so catchy.
And there's links. To the tickets. And you better get them now because there's a handful of cities that are moments away from being sold out, and you might live in one of those cities. Hey, And, you know.
Okay. Okay, we get it. We get it.
Okay. Tignotaro.com. It is my Hello Again tour.
And once again, our night together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
You can go to loopedlive.com. That's LOOPED, live.com.
Tickets are flying off the shelf. So you better get them now.
They are flying off the shelf.
We have tickets on shelves. I don't think that we'll sell out, but the VIP private hang time with me and Cheryl,
mm-hmm.
that will sell out.
That will sell out. Hotcakes.
Yeah, hotcakes.
And you can watch Curb Your Enthusiasm season 11 on HBO and HBO Max.
God, 11 seasons.
21 years we've been doing.
With like a decade off in between.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. One time we had 6 years off. One time. It's just crazy. But it's really, really fun. All right, Tig.
Should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl, True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.